Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. This week, we hear accounts of the severe flooding in the north of England from clergy serving some of the affected communities. Firstly, we hear from James Newcombe, the Bishop of Carlisle.
Well, it's more extensive than we've ever known it before. I was around for the flooding in 2005 and 2009, and this has gone deeper and further than we've ever known in the past. The extent of water that fell was absolutely staggering, and it fell very, very rapidly, and that was partly what caused the defences to go. And when I went up yesterday to Carlisle, there were still very extensive floods around. There were still people in rubber dinghies and boats bringing some of their possessions and some of their relatives out of the houses, and this was unprecedented because in the past the water's gone down much more rapidly. I live in Keswick and was able to watch the flood happen on the Saturday, and it was absolutely staggering. The power, the sheer power and surge of the water was quite frightening, and the speed with which it overcame the defences and rushed down the streets and poured into people's houses and into the shops was extraordinary. Now, this morning, I was out, and you wouldn't really know from the roads that it had flooded at all, because the water has gone back down. But the park, just on one side of the river, looks like a scene from the First World War. And of course, shops and houses have now outside them the beginnings of all the debris and ruined possessions and furniture that people are beginning to throw out. In the infirmary, Cumberland Infirmary in Carlisle, they were without power, as many of the houses are, so they were working on a generator. They'd cancelled all elective surgery, but they were doing emergencies. And the spirit there was very good too, and the matron was telling me that quite a number of staff, both nurses and consultants and surgeons, had come in specially on their day off in order to help. And so everybody really working well together, and the coordination by the emergency services has been spectacular. As we've discovered in the past, when disasters happen, and I'm sure this happens in other places, but it's particularly true in Cumbria, there is the most extraordinary resilience, good humour and rallying around. And the cooperative working, not only of the emergency services, who have been superb, and also people like supermarkets who've been providing food free, and small businesses who've been helping with all kinds of offers, but just the help from ordinary everyday people has been outstanding. I was in a couple of reception centres where some of the victims of the flooding were being temporarily put up, and people were pouring in with offers of clothes, with food, and in some cases children bringing their own toys so that other children could play with them.
And how about the churches? How have they responded to this crisis?
Well, the churches have been fairly central to a lot of the work that's been going on. They've swung into action, as they always do on these occasions, and I've been very proud of the way in which they've reacted. We do have certain procedures in place, and those have worked well with coordinators for particular areas. But I think what we found again and again, and it's certainly been true on this occasion, is that the church does act as the focus and centre for a community on these occasions, and that works tremendously well, and people look to the church and expect the church to be involved and to have a very positive social action role.
Could I ask you again what the church's message is for people in the...
For them, yes. The message is very much that we're with them not only now, but also in the longer term, and that we will help practically as well as spiritually and emotionally in every way we can.
The Reverend Dr. Benjamin Carter is Vicar of Haydon Bridge and Beltingham with Henshaw in Northumberland.
So we woke up on Saturday morning with looking out of the vicarage kitchen window to see a river that normally runs at about 70 centimetres to a metre, running at well over 4 metres, which was quite scary given that the vicarage garden backs onto the riverbanks, although the vicarage wall is high and strong, so we were quite confident we were going to be okay. But I went out quite early that morning to see how people were and to find that the fire brigade had already been out since 5:30 in the morning, checking people, getting sandbags around, pumping cellars where they could, just to try and keep the waters back. Visited a few homes where they were very fearful and they could already see the water rising, either coming up through the garden as a sort of slow, creeping, dark menace, or beginning to fill cellars as it did in a few places in the centre of the village. It was very scary. Actually, the river was in spate. We're used to the river. It's part of our life. It runs right through the heart of the village. But it's normally seemed to be a benign friend, but it was getting bigger and darker and stronger, and you really didn't know what was going to happen. So during the morning, we were just checking that people were okay. There was a slight hope that the river had peaked in the early afternoon. There's an Environment Agency marker station, recording station in the village, so you can get almost live updates of what the river level is. And it just peaked, and it seemed to be going down again, and then it started going up and up again. And we're quite a long way north here, so it starts getting dark at the moment by about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it was getting darker and darker, and the waters were getting higher and higher. And I'd actually just gone out to the co-op to get some milk and bread in the centre of the village, and was stopped by the landlady of one of the pubs, who's also a parishioner, comes to church regularly. And she said, "Oh, are you here to help with the sandbags?" And I said, "What sandbags?" And I turned round to see that the water was coming over the pavement and up through people's homes. So we just did what we could, really, with what resources we had in the village at the time, to go where it was needed at the times it was needed. And we did our best, but quite a few homes were lost by that point. The damage in the homes where it's got into has been significant. Certainly one of the regular churchgoers is going to be out of her home for 6 months as the house dries out. And it's only 10 years ago that that happened to her previously in a place that never used to flood. The church building is right in the centre of the village, and we've tried to be a focal point to try and be visible to people. So Saturday is one of those days when you don't... you're not actively at work all the time, but what I did on Saturday morning was stick my dog collar on and get out and wander around and just be seen and hope people saw me. Went to the butchers and bought some bacon sandwiches for the fire brigade, knocked on the doors that I could knock on, checked with the shops, checked with businesses that they were okay, just to let them know that we were here and we were praying for them as much as anything else. On Sunday morning, at church, we had a good turnout in church, more than you might have expected given the weather the day before. And it was an opportunity to give thanks for the safety, that no lives had been lost, that everyone was safe and dry as best as they could be. But also to hope that we can find ways of working through this better in the future. Oddly enough, the word that was coming into my head through the evening on Saturday night and into Sunday morning was covenant, a sense of covenant with one another as a community, but also a sense of covenant with creation, a sense that the weather seems to be getting wilder, that these occurrences, which everyone says are 1 in 100 years, are now 1 every 10 years, and that we have a deep responsibility to live with the covenant that God has made with us through creation. And we have to live with that responsibly and understand how we can best live with these circumstances and ensure that these things don't happen again.
And finally, we hear from the Very Reverend Michael Sadgrove, former Dean of Durham, who moved recently to Haydon Bridge.
It's not a weekend I'd like to live through again. The experience of hour after hour of relentless rain and wind battering this village was quite something. I heard Benjamin say earlier on that it was scary, and it was.
You talk in your blog of people standing on Haydon Bridge and looking down at the river.
Yes.
What was it like?
At the height of the flood, it was pretty alarming, I have to say. Nobody could recall ever having seen the river as high as that and as violent as that. Then on the next day, we stood on the bridge to sing carols and light the Christmas trees. And I thought, well, we can't be King Canute and keep the waters at bay. But there we were, standing right above them, and the river was still surging. It wasn't anything like as high, but it was there was plenty of energy in it. And yet we were singing "A Little Town of Bethlehem" and "Away in a Manger" and speaking of divine love. And in my way of things, my way of seeing things, what divine love does is to put chaos in place. It puts destructiveness in its place. And it seemed to me so appropriate to be singing of God's redemptive love and the just and gentle rule of Christ that brings about order and stability. To be singing about those things in the very place where 24 hours earlier we had all been so alarmed and frightened. That to me, you couldn't have had a more powerful understanding of Advent and the message of Christmas. And it, purely as a matter of the community on a social level, it was just what the village needed to do at exactly the right time. And then back at the church, as I think you've heard Benjamin say, we had a rousing three cheers for the fire service here. But I guess that they were too busy doing their job probably to notice. I hope that they got the message afterwards, because they've been fantastic. I really mean that. And I know everybody else in Hayden Bridge shares the view that without our fire service, and particularly without the station here in Hayden Bridge, things would have been a lot worse.
That's it for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening.